Memorial Day Hockey Talk Show, and we got a lot to talk about. I mean, things are heating up like crazy in the hockey world right now. Usually, we know we're heading in towards a big free agency trade rumor right after the Stanley Cup. I don't know if we've ever seen more heat behind a Stanley Cup, more heat behind a trade rumor season than we have right here prior to the Stanley Cup even beginning, which is kind of crazy to see, but I love it. We got a lot to talk about. Phil Kessel will be traded. I cannot believe we're saying these words. Where he goes, the Minnesota thing, we are going to break down everything on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show for you, for sure. He is gone. Tippett, sorry, Corey, Tippett to Edmonton. It is practically a done deal. Edmonton making a lot of shifts and changes that they really need to. We will talk about this on this episode. Anders Lee has a term issue with the New York Islanders. Erik Karlsson seems to want to try out Tampa Bay. Do they have the cap space? And cap space is going to be a big theme in today's show because we got a lot of trade rumors and a lot of free agency rumors. And you're going to notice a lot of players that want a lot of money and a lot of teams that don't have the cap space. Plus, and I can't believe this is the most boring part of this episode because the trade rumors are hot right now. We're going to preview the Stanley Cup Finals for you here. Give you guys a couple of days, especially if you listen on the podcast, to enjoy this Memorial Day weekend out on the beach with the barbecue, and you could take the podcast with you and get a good sense of what's going on here over the next day or two. So we have a lot to get to and not a lot of time to get to. We'll take your questions in the chat on Facebook and YouTube. Let's get this show going. I kind of like doing the early morning shows. It's Sunday morning, May 26th, 11:15 at the time of our live broadcast here. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm used to doing my radio shows in the morning, and that's just kind of a good time for me. I like doing the morning shows for sure. It seemed to be better energy at this time. Better energy now than later on in the day. All right, all around, tons of stuff to get to. Kessel, Edmonton, everything that we previewed for you. But first, let's do this. Do we not have the greatest trophy in all of sports? Here is Mario Andretti in his race car taking the Stanley Cup for a 220-mile-per-hour ride around the track. How great is that? How great is that visual? Sorry if you're listening on the podcast, but if you want, go to the Facebook or YouTube page and take a look at this bad boy because it's worth it, and it's early on in the episode here. It's so cool to see the Stanley Cup strapped into a race car like that. That is that's a Formula One car. That's just a beautiful thing right there. I love that. I really, really love that. All right, let's talk about Phil Kessel. Obviously, it's the biggest part of our show today, and it's the biggest news here of the day. But Phil Kessel is going to be traded. So here's the timeline of what we know happened and how we kind of think it all went down. It started with the Evgeny Malkin trade rumors, and those were the thing. Obviously, Pittsburgh getting swept by the New York Islanders first round, unacceptable in Pittsburgh. And if we've learned anything about Mario Lemieux, by the way, how's my volume? Are we sounding good? Can you just guys let me know in the chat, Facebook or YouTube? Just let me know in the chat if the volume is all good. I don't want to be blowing things out here. Dave, what's up? Talk, Tick, Dimmy, El Gallo, Corey, how's everybody doing here today? Don't forget, thumbs up on the video right away if you guys are watching. And don't forget to hit the share button as well. Spread the news about the Hockey Talk Show. Sounds good. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate that. All right, so here's what we know about Phil Kessel, right? So Evgeny Malkin trade rumors out there. That kind of died down. I said it's kind of impossible to trade Evgeny Malkin. He's got a big, fat contract. He's part of your core. If you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, you want Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby's career to end as a Pittsburgh Penguin. There's far more legacy there than worth anything else. You can struggle through two or three bad seasons with them at the tail end of their contract, which, by the way, even at like 37 and 38, I still think these guys are going to be amazing, amazing point producers. So you have, you have all of those options. But again, you want to see these guys end up as Pittsburgh Penguins. So the next logical step there is to trade Phil Kessel. And I said they weren't going to trade Malkin. And Malkin went into the world and he said, look, I get it. I didn't have a great year this year. I understand that. The point was made. But again, if we've learned something about Mario Lemieux is he does not tolerate losing for too long. He is one of the most impatient, patient people I've ever seen, meaning most general managers have to be patient. When they get impatient, they make mistakes. They make trades. They don't let their guys develop. That's an issue with general managers. It's hard to not pull off a big trade or grab some headlines to quickly improve your team. Most of the time, slow, long-term success is key. To Dave's point about screaming about the Blues, look at the St. Louis Blues and what they did this year. Doug Armstrong was patient. Patient. Last place team, January 3rd. Now they're going into the Stanley Cup Final. Now, we heard the Pietrangelo to Toronto rumors, and of course, there were probably some discussions. But at the end of the day, Doug Armstrong stood pat. And that was the right move. Most of the time, patience is key. What I see from the Pittsburgh Penguins is they will have some patience to a degree and then changes. We saw that when they unloaded their coach and general manager, and now we're seeing that with Phil Kessel. You came in, you won us a bunch of cups. It's been great. You had one, now we're two bad seasons. Something's got to go. I mean, it's kind of crazy to trade a Phil Kessel. It really is kind of crazy to trade a Phil Kessel just because you got swept in the first round and you haven't made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. But you know what? A lot of people call George Steinbrenner crazy, and the Yankees have the most championships than any other team in baseball. So having outrageous expectations sometimes, if you have the right people around to pull off the moves, can actually be a good thing. And that's what we see from Mario Lemieux in a big, big way. He does not let things sit for too long. And obviously, the big three in Pittsburgh is going to change here. Okay, so what happens with Phil Kessel specifically? So, apparently, whatever conversations happened internally, the Pittsburgh Penguins decide if we're going to move a major piece here, it's going to be Phil Kessel. It's obviously not going to be Crosby. Malkin's got a $9.5 million deal. That's going to be really difficult. Phil Kessel is a great player, and he makes $6.8 million. You know, does he have his shortcomings? Of course. And I actually think he gets treated a lot worse than he actually is. The media hates Phil Kessel. His teammates really, really don't. And the teams that he plays for outside of Toronto seem to be really pleased with him. Now, he didn't have a good run in Boston. He was young. It was different. He's done everything pretty well for the Pittsburgh Penguins, including help them hoist a couple of championships. So, you know, you can't really complain about Kessel too much. Is he out of shape sometimes, to Dave's point? Yeah. Does he get lazy and lackadaisical sometimes? Yeah. Name me a major superstar that doesn't. They're very few and far between. You know, the Sidney Crosbys and the John Tavareses, those guys that are first in and last out and making the most money and working the hardest, they really are few and far between. I mean, everybody that's watching and listening to the Hockey Talk Show right now knows full well you have a player on your team that's making a ton of money that does not show up every single game. It's just part of the National Hockey League today. So that's Phil Kessel. Were there issues between him and the head coach? That's what I've been hearing. And that's what I think kind of helps lead to the fact of, okay, that guy. So Jimmy Rutherford targets Phil Kessel. Okay, he's going to be my guy. He puts together a deal with the Minnesota Wild, sending Phil Kessel to Minnesota in exchange for Jason Zucker. Now, if you're Jason Zucker and you're the Minnesota Wild, I mean, you can't be too pleased with this. It's twice now they've tried to trade this guy. Minnesota had a deal ready for him to go to Calgary that fell through at the last minute, and now you have a deal with Pittsburgh that has also seemed to have fallen through here. So if I'm Jason Zucker, I don't know if there's another player in the world that is feeling more unwanted than Jason Zucker. And that includes Phil Kessel, because it's never easy to hear, oh, we don't want you here, and have to live with that. It's never easy. But now Jason Zucker's had to hear that twice. So obviously Paul Fenton is not a big fan of Jason Zucker, wants him off the roster in the worst way possible. So where does this all get murky and complicated? Well, it seems like they had a deal that both general managers liked, so why did it fall through? Well, because Phil Kessel has a modified no-trade, no-movement clause. I don't know the specifics on this. I could be wrong, but it's my understanding that he has eight teams that he can be traded to where he has zero veto power. So he has to submit a list of teams. Okay, here's eight teams that I'll go to that you can trade me to. where I can't say anything about. Everything else, he can't be traded to. If you want to trade him to that team, there needs to be a veto. So there's 31 teams now. So 23 teams you can't trade him to. 8 teams you can trade him to and he can't say peep. Okay? Is Minnesota one of those teams? Clearly not, because it's Phil Kessel who stepped in and said, I will not take out my no trade to go to, I will not, you know, let it go. I'm going to veto the trade. So Rutherford goes to him and says, Phil, we got a deal for you to go to Minnesota. Do you want to, you know, you want to relinquish your no trade? And he says, nope, I don't. Deal falls apart. Why do we know about this? Because the deal fell apart. Obviously, things have changed in Pittsburgh. Phil is on his way out. And this is why we know Phil Kessel will be traded. Because the only reason we're hearing about this is because somebody is unhappy. Whether it's Phil and his agent or whatever that are leaking the deal, or whether it's Jimmy Rutherford that is like, well, I got to make this public now. This whole Phil Kessel is being traded thing comes from the fact that he does not give up his no trade to go to Minnesota. Because what happens now? Now I'm a general manager for whatever team, and I go, Phil Kessel's available. Let me kick the tires on this. Let me see what's available. Let me see, you know, let me put a package together and see if Jimmy Rutherford's happy. Most general managers don't know who's on his list. I don't think anybody knows who's on his list other than, you know, Jimmy Rutherford and Phil Kessel himself. So the fact that, you know, Phil Kessel waives his no trade clause is a sign of the frustration that comes from we even know about this to begin with. So when you put it out there, boom, now you've created a market. Now you have other general managers jumping in, right? Now you have hysteria. Because if I had to guess what's on Phil Kessel's no trade, no movement, the 8 teams that he can go to, probably the Philadelphia Flyers, probably Toronto and Boston. Because when you agree on a contract, when you make those things happen, you say, okay, I'm going to give you 8 teams, and you want a full no movement clause. On those 8 teams, you pick the 8 teams that literally, you know, no team wants to trade you to. Toronto's not trading for Kessel again. You know, Boston's not trading for Kessel again. The Pittsburgh Penguins don't want to give a big-time scorer to the Philadelphia Flyers. They don't want that. They don't want to give him to the Columbus Blue Jackets and have to deal with that in the playoffs, especially in the first round probably. You know, same thing with the Rangers, Islanders, you know. So you could literally, you can have a no trade with 8 teams that you can go to and literally chip away at those 8 teams and really make it realistically, you know, 2 or 3, excuse me. And then what happens is I'm general manager for Team X. And Jim Rutherford calls me up and goes, look, Phil Kessel's on the block. I'm sure you've heard. Let's see if we can make a deal. I'm realizing quickly, wait a second. I must be one of the teams. I must be one of the teams that Phil wants to come to. Well, if Jimmy Rutherford now is at the mercy of Phil Kessel's, you know, wave, if he's at the mercy of Phil Kessel's veto power, why would I pay top dollar for Phil Kessel? I'm going to get Phil Kessel for as cheap as I could possibly get him for. I'm not going to give up my goal scorers. I'm not going to give up my good defenseman. I'm not going to give up my top goaltender prospects to bring in Phil Kessel because Jimmy Rutherford's options are limited. So that really kind of makes me think that this came from Phil Kessel's camp. I mean, it makes the most sense. You want to trade me? Fine. This is what I'm going to do. And now Phil Kessel's sitting in the driver's seat because Jimmy Rutherford has to make a deal that's worthwhile for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then he has to go check with Phil, which is why these no movement clauses are such a huge pain. How does this end up? Well, the thing at the end of the day is we don't want you, Phil. That's the problem. And where agents come in and where agents earn their 10% or 4% or whatever they're getting is in these moments right now, because it's not easy for somebody to say, we don't want you here. You know, it's not easy to turn up for work every day and know that you're not wanted and your work's not appreciated. I'm sure some of you out there watching and listening could actually, you know, you can understand that. You may have that similar situation or know somebody in that similar situation. It's not an easy thing to go through. So it could be very, you know, it could be a depressing thing. And at some point you turn around and get frustrated and go, fine, I'll go wherever. And that's where the agent comes in to talk to Phil and get him through this and say, listen, we're going to stay tough. We're going to go where we want to go. And if the Pittsburgh Penguins have to take less in order to make that happen, that's exactly what they're going to do. So now we're in a waiting game to see what's what. Supposedly, the latest rumors that we're hearing now is that Kessel actually wants to go to the Arizona Coyotes. Now, how true all that is, I don't really know. I mean, I know he likes golf. I know he likes hot dogs and golf. This is all I know. And I know they got a lot of golf. And I know they got hot dogs in Arizona. So maybe that's where he wants to go. I don't really know. But again, if I'm John Chyka and I go, well, okay, Phil wants to come here. We're one of the teams on his list. Guess who I'm not giving up for Phil Kessel? You know, any of the guys that I want to hold on to. I'm going to hold on to, you know, Nick Schmaltz. I'm going to hold on to Galchenyuk. I'm not have to worry about that. I can hold on to, you know, God, the roster for Arizona is so rough. It was really rough. But you don't have to worry about your Clayton Keller. It's not like he was in any sort of issue, you know, issue of being traded anyway. He was in no danger of that kind of thing. So you got a lot of options if you're John Chyka. If that's true, and I know I'm on one of Phil Kessel's teams and he can be traded to me and we don't have to get his approval, I'm going to lowball Jimmy Rutherford, which is going to really, really drag out this process for the long term. But I can say to you with utmost confidence that Phil Kessel and his love of hot dogs and golf will be traded at some point. He will not be back with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Because Mario doesn't want it, and Mario needs to make a change. He knows that. It worked the last time, and he's hoping it's going to work again. Now, if you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, the guy I've been saying all along that needs to be traded, and I'm finally starting to see his name in some of the rumors, that's Olli Maatta. He makes $4 million. He is pretty much useless on the ice. Not exactly a great trade chip for any general manager. Hey, do you want to take this guy who's making $4 million and completely useless? So whatever you're going to get in return for Olli Maatta is probably going to be useless, but you want to maybe get somebody back who can shave a little term off, and you want to get a general manager on the other line that thinks that he can fix the player, because there was certainly a lot of hoopla around the prospect of Olli Maatta turning into a good top four defenseman. We just never really have seen it so far from the Pittsburgh Penguins. So if I'm Jimmy Rutherford, I got to figure out a way to get that $4 million off my cap. And if I can get rid of Phil Kessel for $6 million, well, that'll help me out a lot too. But supposedly, the rumors were Kessel to Minnesota, and it was a comparable money swap. It was Kessel for Jason Zucker, but supposedly it was Kessel and Jack Johnson for Zucker and Victor Rask, which essentially is a one-for-one swap on money. So why they would want to do that, I'm not entirely sure. I thought Jack Johnson was pretty serviceable as a defenseman for the Pittsburgh Penguins, certainly better than Olli Maatta, if you ask me. I know he's kind of on the end of his career, but I thought he was a little bit better. And clearly, Paul Fenton just wanted to get Nino Niederreiter out of his locker room. That's why he traded him for Victor Rask. And now that he's got Victor Rask, I don't think he likes him all that much. I think if you're a Minnesota Wild fan, you're kind of realizing that, hey, if I want to rebuild a franchise in today's modern era of the National Hockey League, it's going to take 5 years. Because you literally sometimes can't move contracts, and you have to sit there and wait. Which is what really makes this offseason maybe the most interesting ever, because we have so many high-priced RFAs and the threat of offer sheets coming through, cap space is at a premium. So if you're sitting there and you're a fan of the Ottawa Senators, maybe not them. There might not be any hope for you. But if you're a fan of the Colorado Avalanche, the New Jersey, let me tell you the teams that are in the best position right now. The Devils, the Avalanche, the Flyers, the Blue Jackets, the Canucks, and the Sabres. These teams are in the absolute best position because they have a ton of projected cap space. A ton. A lot of cap space. The Rangers are sitting there with $19 million in cap space. That's not too bad. That's really not too bad. That's why all the excitement of, should we get this guy? Should we get Panarin? Should we get this one? Like, general managers have a little bit more of an option, especially if you have a big, fat cap space. Because you can say, I want to score. Who's available that I don't have to give up anything for? Okay, Artemi Panarin's my option. But now you don't. You have more options because you can say, well, maybe I want to go after Mitch Marner. Maybe I want to go after Kyle Connor. Maybe I want to go after Patrick Laine. And maybe I can give up next to nothing for them. Sure, it's not as easy as giving up nothing entirely for a free agent. But if I got to trade a couple of third, fourth round picks, maybe even a second round pick, and trade this prospect and that prospect who's probably not going to crack my roster anyway, I'm going to go for the guy that I really want. And that's what that salary cap space allows you to do. It gives you more options. You're no longer restricted to who's a free agent. You can go out there and go, okay, I want to get Mitch Marner. I'm not going to sign him to an offer sheet and give up all those crazy things. Let me call him Toronto and see if I can make a deal. Because then Toronto will get whatever, whatever, whatever in return, and then I could go and sign him for whatever I need. Or Patrick Laine or whoever. It doesn't have to necessarily be an RFA. It could be a guy who's under contract that you can say, well, I can go out and get Phil Kessel now because I got $30 million in space. And guess what, Jimmy Rutherford? I'm going to give you this prospect and this third round pick for him. I know you're not getting anything else. I know you can't make that deal work and this deal work. So do you want to take it or not? Cap space is at a premium. You're going to see the Blue Jackets, the Devils, the Flyers, the Canucks maybe almost especially, really be able to make a splash this year, whether it's through trade or free agency or RFA, because they have that cap space. Because if you're Pittsburgh, you just don't have that space. The other rumor I'm hearing is Erik Karlsson to the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? I'm hearing this all over the place like crazy. We thought Karlsson was going to Vegas. And then we thought Karlsson was going to Tampa, which I didn't get. After you have Victor Hedman and you go out and you acquire. I mean, I didn't even think it made sense for them to get Ryan McDonough, but they did it anyway. Nobody asked me. And you got Mikhail Sergachev there, who's obviously the heir apparent. And you got all these options. And then you're going to add another offensive defenseman who's expensive. I mean, I didn't think that made any sense. But the rumors were to Tampa, then the rumors were to Vegas, and none of that seemed to come to fruition. And here comes San Jose, and they're the ones who acquired him. He put his big fat thank you out to the media, to the world through Twitter, which is what these players do now at the end of the season. Well, it's not the ending that we saw, but it was a great ride. Thanks, everybody. And then everybody goes, well, there he goes. He's not going to come back. I don't think that necessarily means that all the time. But I do think it means it in this particular case, because if you're Erik Karlsson and you've, like John Tavares last year, if you've made it this far, why the hell, you know, would you go and sign with San Jose when you can see what your options are out there? And the rumors are supposedly, and I don't know how true this is, that he's intrigued by Tampa Bay. Now, I understand that because the appealing part about Tampa Bay is, you know, you've got a lot of really good defenseman there, so he doesn't have to worry about playing D all that much, which he doesn't really do all that much anyway. And, you know, you've got a great team that is clearly ready for a Stanley Cup win, really ready for a Stanley Cup run. Now, is Tampa in this position like Pittsburgh is, where they're like, well, we did not have the showing that we were supposed to win the Cup this year, and we didn't. We have to make some changes. Well, we know they want to get rid of Ryan Callahan. Supposedly JT Miller is starting to heat up and he's got a no trade clause, a modified no trade clause. Callahan's got one, and both of those guys make $10 million. So those would be the moves. You got to get Braden Point under contract. He's going to cost you a ton of money. And then the next, you got Cedric Paquette that needs a deal. Adam Ernie needs a deal. And then the next year, you got Anthony Cirelli who needs a deal. Callahan is a free agent after this year, so his five comes off if you can be patient. Again, you know, is Julian Breezeball going to try and shop Ryan Callahan this season? Yes. But just like in Minnesota, it might require some patience because you might not have anybody that wants to take his $5 million back. You might not have that option. Now, this is going to seem nutty, but if I'm the New York Rangers, okay, I call up Tampa and I go, we'll take Ryan Callahan back. We'll take him back, but you got to give us a really high pick. What's the highest pick you can afford? Because we'll take your first. Because we'll take your second. You know, we'll take, like, that's the play if you're the New York Rangers. Because you're in rebuild mode right now. You know you're not going to win this season. And even if you sign Artemi Panarin, fine. Even if you're going to add that piece, again, it's patience. It's not about winning this year for the New York Rangers. If I'm the New York Rangers, I'm saying, hey, give me Ryan Callahan, and I'm going to get the highest pick I could possibly get. In return, I'm going to send them a seventh-round draft pick. And again, that's what you're going to see. Cap space is king. Because if I'm Tampa, I don't want to give up my first-round draft pick. It's not smart to do that. I know I got to get a rebuild going here at some point over the next couple of years. But I kind of have that year or two cushion where I can be foolish with some of my picks. And I got to get this almost $6 million off of my cap right now. So yeah, sure. Take my first, take Ryan Callahan off my hands, and I will, you know, I'll get this money freed up, and I can get Braden Point under contract, and then maybe I can go ahead and get, you know, Erik Karlsson, and maybe he's the thing that my team finally needs. I don't necessarily agree with that part of it. I don't think he is, and I certainly wouldn't sign Erik Karlsson to a long-term deal, which I know he's going to be trying to go get. But it's the option. It's the only option you have. And if I'm the New York Rangers, hey, I just got a first-round draft pick for nothing. And what did I give up? A roster spot on my team for an obvious fan favorite who is clearly a third- and fourth-line player now. Who cares? I'll sell a bunch more Ryan Callahan jerseys for a year. We'll pay him his $6 million, which we have a boatload of money for. And we got another first-round draft pick that we can build towards our future with. So that's the move if I'm the New York Rangers. Hell, I'll say throw in JT Miller. We'll take him back, even though he doesn't make our team any better, for $5 million. And then I definitely want a first-round draft pick and maybe a number two for the next season, for next year's draft. Draft picks, cap space, they are huge currency because a lot of teams are in these log jams that are, I got to make these changes. I got to make these moves. Minnesota's got to get out from under bad contracts. Pittsburgh has got to move Kessel in his contract. You got a lot of bad contracts around that you're going to have to get out from under, and teams are going to have some of those issues. And you got Erik Karlsson going to free agency, and Artemi Panarin, and Sergei Bobrovsky, and all these guys that are going to want big fat deals. And it's not going to be out there. Let's talk about Anders Lee because I brought it up. It seems, though, and I don't really believe a lot of the rumors I hear when it ever involves a Lou Lamoriello team, because Lou Lamoriello does not let anything leak whatsoever. He doesn't let it leak. I was shocked that we kind of found out about Brock Nelson before we did, but we did, and that came to fruition. Again, these things just rarely happen when it comes to a Lou Lamoriello team. But let's talk about Anders Lee, because the report is, and this comes from Brett Sagrillis, I believe. Yeah, let me bring it up here, because now I want to make sure I'm quoting this all right. Again, you know, like the Islanders have so few people following their franchise and reporting on it. And sorry about that. Are we back here? Okay, I think we're back. Sorry. Had a little blip in the thing. Hopefully we didn't lose too many people. Okay. All right. So anyway, back to Anders Lee, which is what we were talking about. If I'm Anders Lee and I'm a little unhappy with the whole situation and I want to get a deal done and whatever the case may be, I'm going to go ahead and tell my agent, yeah, you know what? throw it out there, let everybody know we're having some issues. So this comes from Brett Sigrillis, who reports for the New York Post, who says that it's going to be term, which is the sticking point for Anders Lee contract negotiations. And these are some pretty specific details, which makes me think that this really did come from Lee's agent, that he's not happy with the term. Supposedly, according to Brett, he says that the Islanders want to get Anders Lee. It's not money that's the issue. It's term that's the issue. So Lee wants a 7-year deal. So he's not even asking for the max 8 years, which he obviously has a right to go and get. He wants a 7-year deal. But Lou Lamoriello doesn't want to do more than 4. Now, that's a big difference. That's a big difference. You don't want to lose your captain, especially somebody like Anders Lee, who's a phenomenal player, a really good leader, and a 30-goal scorer. But the difference of 3 years, 4 years and 7 years is 3 years. That's a lot. That's a lot. He also feels that the two sides can compromise on money at $7 million per season if a deal is reached. But if not, obviously, Anders Lee is going to go out towards free agency. If I'm a New York Islander fan, I have to prepare for the possibility that Anders Lee is not going to be on this team next season. Brock Nelson got locked up. It's a good move. You still have to figure out your goaltending situation. It seems like Lamoriello is going to let Jordan Eberle go to the free agent market because we have heard no buzz on that. And we've just kind of been hearing those rumblings that Eberle is going to get a chance to go out and test the free agency market. I don't rule out a return of Eberle, because if he goes out and doesn't see anything he loves and he can get back with the Islanders, who by all accounts sounds like there's a really incredible locker room there and a good situation, he might come back and be like, okay, fine. You know, I went out to try and get X for X. I couldn't get it. Lou, what can you give me? I'll stay with the Islanders. I'll stay in a good situation. Because if you're a player, you want to make the most money possible, but you also want to be in a good situation. And with Eberle being in Edmonton for so long, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to go, I need to get the most possible, so I'm going to go somewhere where I really don't care for it. I don't see that happening with Jordan Eberle. So I actually think it's a smart play for Lou to be like, go ahead, see what else you can get. I'll be happy to talk to you after July 1 if you're not happy. Because I know I want to get Jordan Eberle under contract. And even if there were issues there with him and the coach and whatever the case is, I know I could iron those out. But I want to get Eberle on a term and money-friendly deal. I want to get him to take less to stay here. That's what I think Lou Lamoriello's motivation is with this. But I think that Anders Lee could actually hit free agency here. And if I am a National Hockey League franchise, I want to put some money behind this guy. He's a great leader. He's phenomenal in front of the net, tips pucks super well, plays really good with superstars on his line, did really great with John Tavares, did pretty well with Matthew Barzal, even though that kind of all bounced around this year. He's decent on the power. Like I said, he likes to get the crap kicked out of him in front of the net. He loves it. And he's going to be worth whatever he can get. So if he's going to come in around $6 million or whatever the case is, and Lou will say, okay, look, I can't give you 7 years at $6 million, but I can give you 4 years at $7 million. I mean, it's a compromise. But if you're Anders Lee, you're still leaving a whole lot on the table. A whole lot on the table. So it's something to consider there. But if I'm the New York Islanders, if I'm an Islander fan, I would strongly get used to the idea of 27 playing for another franchise. Especially when you add on top of this what Paul Fenton is trying to do in Minnesota and the fact that Anders Lee is from Minnesota. I mean, you could literally get John Tavares 2 years in a row if you're the New York Islanders. I mean, almost to a T. Your captain going home in both. It could happen. If you're an Islander fan, it could happen. Because, again, if I'm Lee and I'm going, well, Minnesota just traded for Phil Kessel, if it comes to fruition or whatever, or they just emptied up a lot of cap space and Parisi's still there and I could go home and live in my hometown and still make the money that I want to get, and they're going to give me a 6-7 year deal, which is more than Islanders. I'll have more. I mean, it's going to be something that he's going to think about. If you know Anders Lee at all, he loves Minnesota, loves it. played his college there, lived there. There is nothing about Minnesota that Anders Lee does not love. And I know what you're going to say, so let's let John say it. Getting construction to start at Belmont, to me, plays a huge role into who the Islanders signing top free agents, example, Panarin and Duchesne. That is true, but the arena will mean nothing in re-signing Anders Lee. It won't be the building, it won't be this, none of it. Anders Lee coming back will be term and term only. And if Lou doesn't want to give him the term, let's be honest with each other. Would you be mad at that? Because as we're seeing with Kessel and JT Miller, El Gallo's comment, how the hell does JT Miller have a no-trade clause? Weak general managers, that's how. And I know Stevie Y gave him that deal. If not, it was the Rangers who gave him that deal. Now I can't remember if he re-signed in Tampa after he was traded or not. I don't know. But weak general managers. Weak general managers give no trades. And you only become a weak general manager when you become a desperate general manager. Kessel and burritos, watch what you ask for. Phil Kessel has to get used to burritos here in Arizona. Hopefully we can get him cheap, says Adam, but I think the Yotes want someone younger like Kasperi Kapanen. Yeah, Kasperi Kapanen would be a good signing for the Arizona Coyotes. I'm excited about the Coyotes' future. There's not much there, but again, they're one of those teams with a lot of cap space. Something could really happen. I've also, it feels to me like Panarin is an absolute to the Rangers, but I've also been hearing and seeing and reading a lot of rumors about Panarin and Bobrovsky going down to Florida. Supposedly Panarin has a house there or lives nearby in Miami. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, that's the rumor I'm hearing now, that Panarin was going to follow Sergei Bobrovsky and go down to the Florida Panthers. That would certainly make that a friggin' dangerous team. John would give Anders Lee 5 years. Maybe that's where Lou is headed. Maybe Lou's thinking, I can't give him 7. I don't want to give him 8. He wants 7. Let me start with 4. Let's see if we can end up at 5. Maybe that's what Lou's thinking. We'll see. But term kills teams. That's why cap space has become so valuable in the offseason trade market this year, which is what we've been seeing. Term can kill a franchise. So I think Lou is absolutely within his rights here to, you know, worry about the term moving forward. And let's not forget, Lou really didn't have a lot of maneuvering ability last year in the offseason. Now he does. He locks up Brock, no problem with that. He's going to be hard on Anders Lee. By the way, Lou's hard on a lot of guys. Lou got a lot of guys to take a lot of less money and a lot less term all across the year. So I wouldn't be too worried for that. But again, if I'm the New York Islanders and I'm looking towards the future, which Lou is going to be doing, you have to, you know, get yourself used to the fact that 27 might be wearing a Minnesota Wild uniform next year, or a Coyotes uniform, or a Canucks uniform, or whoever else will be willing to give him that money. Because again, you got Oliver Wahlstrom, you got Kiefer Bellows, you got what's happening with Joshua Hosang. You got a lot of youth and future there with the New York Islanders, for sure. Dave Tippett will be named the next head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. The deal is done. They were hung up on years and salary. Supposedly, he's in the neighborhood of $4 million. Something else we're going to see from franchises moving forward, which is really going to affect the small market teams like Arizona, like the Panthers. Teams are going to start spending a lot more money off of the cap, meaning the players, the salary cap, that's there, but scouting, coaching, analytics. You see, the Toronto Maple Leafs have a huge analytics department, massive, more than any other franchise, more than the Canadiens, I believe. You're going to start to see, and we've already been seeing these teams spend more money in those areas. And now with the signing of Babcock in Toronto a number of years ago, with the signing of Ralph Kruger for a good amount of money in Buffalo, you got these coaches and these general managers going, wait a second, I'm worth, coaches make $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, some of the good ones. A lot of coaches make $400,000-$600,000 a year, and they're managing millionaires on the ice, which has always been difficult. We are going to see that start to turn, and not just with coaches. Kenny Holland in Edmonton and him making $5 million a year coaches and general managers are going to start to command more money, which is going to hurt and affect small market teams because they're not going to be able to pay the proven winners, which is what Edmonton is doing here by bringing in Ken Holland and now consequently Dave Tippett. And what I find really interesting here is if you're in Seattle, you got to be pissed because you essentially lost both of your guys to the Edmonton Oilers, right? The story was Kenny Holland was probably going to skipper the Seattle whatevers, and Dave Tippett was already there as a special consultant helping them pick colors and jerseys and design the arenas and all that kind of crap. So Dave Tippett was already there, and he was probably going to become the head coach, and Kenny Holland was going to be the general manager for the Seattle 32nds. And now they're both in Edmonton. So if I'm Seattle, I'm a little pissed. I'm a little pissed because you lost out on two guys, but they'll have their opportunities for sure. Hit the thumbs up on this video if you guys liked it. I hope you are subscribed to our channel on YouTube and Facebook. Oh, the other thing I want to mention about the Oilers, too, is Dwayne Sutter, who was the VP of player personnel, he's gone. And Craig McTavish is gone. Craig McTavish going is the best thing that could happen for the Edmonton Oilers because even though they brought in Shirelli and they were like new guard or whatever, you still had all the old guard in that building. So Shirelli never had a chance because McTavish was still there. Dwayne Sutter was still there. These guys made some terrible moves. I know Craig McTavish took you to a Stanley Cup final at one point as a coach, but Craig McTavish was a god-awful general manager. He was terrible. Terrible. So bringing in Kenny Holland and Kenny Holland finally giving Craig McTavish his walking papers is a great move. Swapping out Dwayne Sutter. Look, a lot of people are going to lose their gig, and that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. If you want to turn over a new leaf, you got to make that happen. Looking to the Stanley Cup Finals, the officials have been named. Derek Amell, Scott Cherry, Greg Dvorsky, and Pierre Racicot are the linesmen. The referee is probably more important here. Gord Dwyer, Steve Cazari, Wes McCauley, Chris Rooney, and Kelly Sutherland. Those are good referees, especially Wes McCauley. That should be good for the Stanley Cup Finals. We ran out of time here, so I can't really preview Game 1 for you guys all that much or the series, but if I'll do it quickly here. If you look by the numbers, it's the Bruins all the way. They are ever so slightly in the edge in everything. Goals per game, goals per 60 minutes, expected goals per 60 minutes. You look at all the stats, they outshine the St. Louis Blues in every one of those. They shoot more per game. They have a better shooting percentage. Their face-off percentage is slightly better. They give away the puck less, which I think is maybe the most important statistic in all of this. Their power play is way better, 34% versus 19%. For the St. Louis Blues, that's going to be an issue. And their power play, Boston, that is, it's very good on the road. Very good. Their power play on the road is 41%. Their power play at home is 26%. Not great. They're better on the power play on the road. Why? Because they have Brad Marchand. He likes to stick it to people. That makes the most sense. That's why they're better on the road than on the home ice advantage. So everywhere you look at this, and the goaltending is super tight, but Tuukka Rask ever so slightly edges out Jordan Binnington in every single category. I'm picking the Boston Bruins to win the Stanley Cup here. I think it'll go 6, if not 7 games. St. Louis is tough. They are grittier than the Boston Bruins, which is shocking to see. They hit way harder, and they have a better story than the Boston Bruins, and they're younger and hungrier. And Binnington has a lot to prove. You can't discount that. It is going to be a close, close series. But at the end of the day, give me the Boston Bruins here. I think they're going to be the ones to pull it out. Besides Panarin and Duchesne, who can fill that top line sniper role if the Islanders need that's what's available this summer? There is no other. There's not really a sniper out there besides Panarin. You got Jeff Skinner, who scored 40 goals. Obviously, there's an attitude problem there. I wouldn't go with Skinner, but you never know. I wouldn't get too caught up in the Islanders signing top free agents, and I know that's not what Islander fans want to hear. Again, Oliver Wahlstrom, Kiefer Bellows, these are the guys you want to go with. This is a team's team. They're a blue-collar group. They perform better when their big star left, so you don't want to go ahead and give money and a lot of it to another big star. You just don't. To me, the big question for the Islanders there is, can they get Robin Leonard back on a cap-friendly deal? Because then you can bring, to me, this is what I would do if I'm Lou. I would try and re-sign Leonard for sure. I thought he did good. I thought he did really well. And I would bring over Sorokin, and I would just jack up his trade value all I can and make a trade for somebody that you really, really want. Because there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to trade for a goaltender who is as good as Sorokin supposedly is, that's on an entry-level contract and very inexpensive. Teams are going to want to grab that guy. All right, game one of the Stanley Cup Finals coming up. Like I said, going to be Boston in six, if not seven. St. Louis will be tough. I wouldn't be surprised if St. Louis wins the cup and my pick is wrong. I mean, come on. Like I said, story matters. Motivation, chip on the shoulder, it all matters in a big, big way, in a huge way. And you can't discount St. Louis in that matter. You know, we've seen lesser teams than St. Louis win because they were far more motivated. Is, you know, are the Bruins tired? Is Chara have enough in the tank to lead his team? You know, these are all going to be questions that on paper sound really great. Like, of course, Chara's not going to give up. Yeah, but St. Louis hits the crap out of you, and they're really hard to play against, and they wear teams down in a major, major way. I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. It's going to be a close, close series, El Gallo. I totally agree with you. Angry Lawson says Blues will not do it. And John, what a good point for the Islander fans. Dobson to the Islanders next year, for sure. The guys looked amazing in the Memorial Cup. You do sort of get that freed up space now. I don't think they'll trade Letty. I wouldn't. I would just knock him down on the list. He's my 2-3 guy. He's my 3-4 pairing. He's my 5-6 pairing with 55. Give your other guys, Pulak, Pelech, Devon Taves, Noah Dobson, give them the bigger roles for sure. Liz, you made the best point of all, which is why we're going to end the show right now, this very moment. I hope you enjoyed. Remember to hit the thumbs up and subscribe on YouTube. Same thing for Facebook. Don't just like our page. Make sure you go and follow us so you get notifications first. On the podcast, if you watched any of the show, you can catch up with the whole thing. We'll upload it. It makes a great listen if you're on the beach today or tomorrow. And we'll see you game one Monday night, Stanley Cup Finals, Boston Bruins and St. Louis Blues. Enjoy the hockey, everybody. Lots more free agency and rumor shows to come right here on the Hockey Talk Show.